Welcome to The Contractor Commute, a podcast by Congenius designed to fit right into your daily drive. Whether you're a small business owner, employee, or off contracting on your own, we've got advice, stories, and leadership tips to help you out along the way. Hey guys, welcome to The Contractor Commute. Today we're going to talk about saying no, the power of saying no. So can you kind of give us a little bit of backstory on what we're going to talk about today?
As business owners, craftsmen, entrepreneurs, a lot of times we say yes to a lot of things that just weigh us down with a lot of responsibility. We're busy from dusk to dawn. Feels like we don't have a minute to spare.
Yeah.
And we just have this weight on our shoulders that we carry. And sometimes we're not sure how we're going to meet all the obligations we have. There's just not enough time in a day. And if you're there now or have been there in the past or feel like you're going that direction, I can relate to that. Mm-hmm. You can relate to that. Yeah. Saying yes is so easy. It's doesn't really involve any thought or effort. I mean, we want to make people happy. Mm-hmm. We want to make our customers happy, our team happy, the people around us happy. And So yes seems like the most obvious choice.
Yeah,
seems like the easy choice. You don't want to be one of those negative people, right?
I mean, saying no
to things.
I want everybody to like me, right?
Right. And so when somebody asks, you know, hey, can you do this? Can you do this additional project or whatever else? Mm-hmm. The first thought is yes. How do we make that work?
Yeah.
And so today we're going to talk about the power of saying no. Mm-hmm. And if you're overwhelmed, maybe no is something you need to be saying more of.
Yeah.
And
I think this episode too is like just as much for us as it is for anybody listening to this podcast. Like I think, you know, we were talking about it a little bit and, you know, we'll go into some perspective and stuff obviously on the episode, but it is certainly a thing you have to grow in, right? It's something you learn. It's something you develop. I don't think it's something that's just like totally easy for somebody to do. I mean, I think that's easier for some personality types, but is it natural for you to tell people no?
No, and I don't think it is. You know me well enough to, yeah. And I think there's certain obvious no's that I think are a lot easier to say. I mean, if you just realize, no, that's just a flat out no, if it's a moral issue or if something like that, mm-hmm. it's a lot easier to just say no.
Yeah.
But if it comes down to something I feel like I want to say yes to or should, or feel like other people expect me to be able to do it, first thought is saying yes.
Yeah.
And so I know a lot of times my wife will come back to me and say, oh, wow, why did you? I mean, she understands my heart in saying yes, but at the same time, she feels the impact to us as a family or to her by me saying yes to something. And I think it's just sometimes I don't even think about the other aspect of downstream effect of saying yes to something. You just feel like, oh, that person needs something. I could do it. Mm-hmm. So I should say yes to it.
Yeah. That's good perspective. Yeah. I like what you said.
Yeah, go ahead.
I like what you said about just like your wife's perspective of that, of like it's kind of like saying no to something else when you're saying yes to the responsibility you're getting asked, you know? I think for me, it's easier, like you said too, it's easier when there's really clear negatives as a part of something. And I think it's easier for me in work. Like if somebody's like, hey, can you do this by Thursday? I'm like, well, no, I can't get that done, but I can get it done by Monday or whatever that may be. Like whenever it's a commitment that I'm trying to make to somebody, I think I can say no to things or set really clear expectations when it comes to commitments and when I'm going to be able to get something done. But a lot of my roles and, you know, in my career has been sales. And I'm, you know, a lot of like who's listening to this, like you're trying to win jobs, things like that. I think it's becomes really easy to say yes to, you know, projects or jobs or clients or customer, whatever that may be that that maybe I should say no to more. I think earlier in my career, I was way worse at this than now because I've just learned from saying yes to the wrong people or, you know, red flag clients or things like that. We've talked about that before. But I think and then I think in personal life, I am terrible at saying no to things because, again, I want to be doing those things. You know, you kind of mentioned that earlier. I want to be able to help people. I want to be able to say yes to people who need something. And so I think it's a little bit different depending on the context, you know, of my life. But it's something I'm growing in, I would say. And I think yes feels noble.
Yes.
You know, like it feels noble. I mean, it feels like the right thing to do, you know, and it feels like I'm being selfless when actually somebody else, you know, somebody else is sacrificing for my yes. You know?
So. I also think there's an element of like when we are saying yes, I mean, kind of tacking on what you're saying, like because it's almost a human nature. I don't pretend to be a psychologist, but there's an element of humanity of being like we want to please people. We want mm-hmm. to, you know, whether that's our parents or our grandparents, our spouses, our kids,
right.
whatever it is, we want to make these people happy. And so sometimes there's this conflict between all these roles. I mean, mm-hmm. we go to work at the day, we take time away from our families to provide, to do something, to make an impact to our customers.
Right.
And so there's a conflict inherently with all of these things, and you're trying to balance all of that. Mm-hmm. I mean, and so it's not as though you can just say no to all of these responsibilities. You're trying sure. to find out, well, where is the appropriate boundary? Where yeah. are all those lines at? So it's not so cut and dry, right? I mean,
right.
it's not like you can just say, well, the power of saying no is just saying no. You can yeah. be an irresponsible, selfish person by saying no.
True.
And you can also be an irresponsible, selfish person by saying yes.
Yeah.
I mean, you know what
That's
I mean? Like
point.
These things are in conflict with each other. So we're trying to unpack that today.
Yeah.
And like you said, Kinzie, this is not something we're masters at.
No.
I think you just gain a lot of experience over the years. A lot of times I've said yes to things I wish mm-hmm. I would have said no to
yeah.
or, you know, vice versa. So,
yeah.
Why are we doing this, I guess, is number one.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Right. And I think the why behind it is like, there's obvious things to say no to. We talked about that a little bit earlier with some of our stories. Like, those are typically the easier things to say no to if they're destructive or harmful or wrong,
yeah.
those kinds of things. But then there's like a huge list of things that are okay or they're good or even, you know, things that you want to do.
Want to stay ahead of the competition in the construction industry? Look no further than Kingenious. Our cloud-based platform allows you to create highly accurate and detailed estimates from anywhere at any time. And with features like customizable templates and automatic calculations, you'll be creating winning estimates in no time. Check us out at congenius.com. Congenius, build like no one else.
Too much of a good thing can be a bad thing
okay.
if it's like taken out of context. So saying yes too many times
yep.
can be,
yeah. right.
can be
so
wrong.
So it's not necessarily
thing, you know?
That yes was necessarily wrong. It was
too much of it.
Golfing
yeah.
every day, every
right.
week, as
yeah.
opposed to
right. know,
whatever. I mean, that could
right.
be the problem.
Yeah.
Yes.
And,
I like
and
it.
Saying
right.
yes to do many things, you know, kind of to tie in that
yes.
point a little
okay.
bit. But
I like that.
And I think too, like the results of saying no, we talked about this a little bit earlier. Like the results of saying no is it allows you to free up time. You
yes.
know, what other things does saying no from your perspective allow?
Yeah. I mean, there's an element of margin to say yes when you're saying no to the wrong things.
I feel like we're saying lots of yeses and no's.
Yes. Yes, I agree with you. No. We can just make that the theme of the podcast,
yeah, yeah.
the yes and no podcast.
Yeah, there you go.
But anyway, we're just going to have a lot of no.
Like I literally
yes.
don't know what they said other than yes and no.
But, you know, there's also an element of people hijacking our time.
It's good.
And here we go again. We're just going to have a lot of this. But people are going to say, can you do this for me?
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to say not. Basically, trying to shy away from those, you know. But anyway, can you do this project? Can you
yeah.
take on this thing? Can you do this? And the first thing, of course. You
yeah.
know, happy
right.
to do it.
Right.
As opposed to really realizing, saying, well, that's a huge interruption. I might
right.
not even go in that direction.
Mm-hmm.
But now this other person interrupted what
right.
I was otherwise doing.
Mm-hmm.
I have this with technology, Kinzie, where so many times people kind of look at me as being – you know, technically, I have the aptitude. I help people solve problems.
Yep.
And so I get all these calls from my dad, from brothers, from family members, grandmother, friends.
Yeah.
And people would ask me, Ben, how do you fix this problem?
Mm-hmm.
And I would, deep down, I was slightly resentful of the fact that I get asked this. Like
mm-hmm.
it was a load on my time. And
right.
my wife has this in the medical area where
right.
people would just text her and say, Mary, what do I do for, you know, this problem.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're using her medical expertise,
right,
which she should
advice.
Be paying a doctor for, but they're
yeah.
just going to her for it.
Right.
And they're almost like, as my friend, can you help me with this? And then she's thinking, well, there's thousands of other people to think of her as a friend
sure.
in the same,
yes.
same way.
Yeah.
So, and I think we're allowing people to hijack our time by just saying yes
right.
to all of these things.
That's good. Yeah. And I think we'll kind of get into some of the how, like, how do you even say that in a kind way or a gracious way? Like, how do you say
yeah.
no in a gracious way? But, you know, learning to say no allows you to accomplish meaningful things in life. I heard the quote that successful people say no sometimes and extremely successful people say no more than they say yes.
Yeah.
I was like, that's interesting.
Yeah.
Like, it feels reversed from what is kind and right and, you know, in the world like we've talked about. But
mm-hmm.
it's an interesting perspective. And it requires learning and it requires just saying yes to the wrong things. And I think
there's an element of
lessons.
Personality, upbringing, the people that we've had as mentors in our life. How did they interface with the people around them?
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times we see bad examples around us of somebody that always says yes to everything and really
right.
doesn't even follow through with any of that. So we'll see this like knee-jerk reflexive
mm-hmm.
response, yes, 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 and they didn't mean any of it really. Yeah. They want it to go away. They mm-hmm. want. They don't want to make a decision. They don't want to dig deep. And they're just like, yeah, I'll take care of that. And you realize that's meaningless. I mean, and you almost you feel negatively towards those people, sure. like whether that's somebody on our team or somebody mm-hmm. in the, you know that you interface with. And if somebody just said flippantly to you, Kinsey, yes, and you realize, well, I realize you're very busy, and I'm asking you to do something hard, mm-hmm. and I want you to make a commitment to do it, and by when?
Yeah.
You don't want somebody to just tell you yes, but if I just tell you, yeah, I'll take care of that, and you're like, I want to know that Ben's really going to do that.
That's a good point.
Keep his word.
Right.
And to you, that feels more than a yes. And I think mm-hmm. a lot of times we're so busy and they're saying we almost just get this almost delusional kind of thing, superhero syndrome, yeah. where we can just do anything. And well, yeah, we can sometimes, but we don't have enough time to do it all. Mm-hmm. And so sometimes we have to realize, when are we going to do all those things?
Yeah.
And so when we dive into this, like, when do you do it?
Yeah.
Number one, I think was kind of when you're talking about, well, when something feels off or we feel mm-hmm. like resentful towards it, like, well, that might be a time when we need to be saying no.
Right.
And start realizing, let's just deal it right up front instead of getting down to the tail end of, mm-hmm. of a decision to say yes and be realizing, oh, man, I should have said no.
Yeah.
Just like, deal with it up front.
What does your gut say? Yeah. You trust your gut, basically. I think we've talked about that in hiring people, too, and just those kinds of things. Like, in business, you have to trust your gut because you're not an expert on everything, you know? And so saying no is another example.
And you're busy.
That, right.
So sometimes you don't have time to go spend an hour thinking about it. You have mm-hmm. to just be like, yeah, you know, that feels wrong. I might be making the wrong call, but at least I'm making a call and I'm, you know, sometimes no is a safer option than that. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Another thing we talked about, too, was like when it affects others, which is every single time, because either it affects, you know, affects customers, it affects, you know, families, it affects, you know, it always affects someone else.
So how do we do that? I mean, because decisions will impact somebody else. I mean, the first thing that comes to my mind, I want your perspective, mm-hmm. is sometimes you need to involve them in the decision. Right. Not always. Sometimes you're going to make decisions that will affect your team and you don't, it is what it is.
Yeah.
But, you know, I don't know, my wife would have appreciated some of the times when a brother, you know, calls me up for something and she's, you know, and it has an impact on her. I'm making a sacrifice and I'd be like, what do you think, honey? Should we be doing this?
Right.
I mean, she'd be like, oh, well, I mean, if nothing else, you're letting them in the fact that you value their perspective in that situation.
Yeah. And I think with that, like, you have to know whose perspective you need as part of the decision, because you can't.
That's good.
You can't give everybody voice into every decision either, or you'll never move, because there's different opinions on everything. So it's like, obviously the things you value, you know, your wife, your family, like, I know you value those things. So, mm-hmm. so do I. And so I think that's a whole different, you know, like looping your wife in. Obviously a lot of the people who are listening to this too, it's family business, you know, like we're talking, like, it's just as much your family and your spouse as it is, you know, anything else, if you're starting your own business or running small businesses or things like that in the construction space. And so, you know, who is it that you're giving voice into it, I guess, would be mm-hmm. like one of the things to just point out in that. But yeah, I think you might want to say yes, but it could negatively affect others, and just making sure that you're assessing that before you make a call.
Yeah, I like it.
On something.
Yep. So just be like, okay, who else is impacted by this decision, and do they need a voice in this decision?
Yeah, yeah. So what are some scenarios, I guess, of when you might need to say no in the construction space, in business?
Customers, potential customers. Mm-hmm. It's interesting how sometimes you did work for somebody and what was a yes at one point, in the sense of, we did a project.
Yeah.
You think of somebody as a customer, and I know Sam was pointing this out, our producer, at the beginning, of like, sometimes the project is different from the customer. And I thought it was a great observation.
Mm, true.
Sometimes one project is right and another isn't, but that customer you want to be able to serve, but the customer's not right, are always right. They're not the person that dictates. Sometimes they have a feeling of power, but like, I'm the customer, I will tell you what I want, and you go do it.
Yeah.
As opposed to, you have agency and be like, you know what, that project is really not the right fit for us. There are other people that could take that on.
That's good.
That doesn't fit with our timeline, doesn't fit with our goals, expertise, whatever it is. And you don't necessarily owe an explanation either.
Yeah.
I mean, you have vacation going on. You're like, you know, I can't take that on. Otherwise, you become a slave to your customer without even wanting to be.
It's true. I think the, like, being able to say no to customers is, you know, we've talked about on other episodes too, of like just knowing what you're good at, mm-hmm. finding your craft. Like, maybe you shouldn't be saying no to something you're not an expert at. But maybe sometimes you should, if you're like, hey, I'm super young, I'm learning. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm just getting into this space. Like, sometimes there's going to be opportunities that are like training opportunities versus like, no, you have a unique skill set. Like, I'm a trim carpenter and I do trim carpentry. You know what I mean? Versus like, I'm going to dabble in plumbing too. You know what I mean? Or whatever. Yep. You know, there's going to be handymen that listen to the podcast too, that this is a little bit harder to say no to some of those things, because you're like, I want to be able to do everything.
Yeah.
But maybe that's not the right thing either.
I think the other scenario as it relates to customers, I had multiple people come into my office and ask when you gave them an estimate on a job, and mm-hmm. they said, well, can you do that $65,000 job for 60? Mm-hmm. You know, nice even number, the $62,000 for 60,000.
Right.
And they'll bring a check in for 60,000. And there's two motivations. One is you want to close a job,
mm-hmm.
right? It's part of our job. We want to be able to close something.
Yep.
And then the next aspect about it is like, well, you know that discount makes them happy, but who's really driving the decision? It's not you at all. It's them wanting a better deal.
Yeah.
And so sometimes we just need to be able to, and the haggling's fun for some people. Like I think it's some cultures as well.
Yeah.
Like that's a cultural thing. If you're Middle Eastern, like that's part of the fun of closing a deal is haggling about it. And nothing wrong with that. It's just, you know, that's just part of, you know, certain cultures where, you know, you come to a deal saying, let's have some fun negotiating because there's always negotiation
for
to happen. So be able to say, you know what, really, I can't offer that discount.
Mm-hmm.
And just being, you know, don't have to offer explanation.
Yeah, which is hard to do when you have a $60,000 check in front of you.
Yeah. Do you want to know what I did in that situation?
What did you do in that situation? You said yes. Which you can do if you know your costs and you're estimating accurately. You can make discounted, you know, rates or whatever if you know. Like,
yeah. And it's not a universal no versus yes in every situation.
Totally.
Sometimes there's opportunities for us to make a concession. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that could happen. Yeah.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
Okay, and so then like win on projects, right? We talked about projects. So we talked a little bit about skill set, you mm-hmm. know, but I think saying no to certain projects is when something may be outside of your skill set, maybe when there's unrealistic expectations.
That's a good
call out. We talked about timelines a little bit ago. If they're like, I think you gave an example one time of somebody wanting something before Thanksgiving and it was like 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Or a week before Thanksgiving or something like that. And you were able to, but you charged more for it.
Right.
You know what I mean? And so it was interesting. Like you said yes to it, but there was a cost too.
Yeah, it's a good call out, Kinsey, because there's some moments where you realized I could say yes to those, but there's a sacrifice I'm making, which is worth something.
Right.
And the funny thing about that situation is everybody was happy.
Right.
We made great money on the job. They got their project done and nobody, everyone was like, great. You know, it was one of the easiest jobs mm-hmm. in the sense of like, we closed it, it was done, everybody's happy.
Right.
So it's an interesting observation.
Yeah. I don't know. I just remember you sharing that story in the past.
Yeah.
And then I think another thing is red flags. You know, we've had an episode on red flag clients too that we talked about. And it's like, don't ignore those. Like, make sure you're aware of those things before you actually sign up for the project and say yes to it. I would say those are like when to say no to projects. Are there any other things you can think of when, I'm sure there's a lot, but other times to say no to projects?
Yeah, I think that really encompasses most of it. The red flags, I mean, if you could unpack that further of just being like, you know, when you're asked to, I mean, we've had multiple times when there's ethical things as a part mm-hmm. of it as well. If somebody's saying, well, we're not going to pull a permit on this job or mm-hmm. I'll take care of the permit. And, you know, there's things that could affect your reputation and your business's, you know, standing in the community.
Yeah.
And several times we had to tell people, you know, we need to handle the permit. We need to get the permit. We have an engineering plan on this. We can't cheat on these kinds of things. And I think that's another thing where you might have to say no to something is mm-hmm. when somebody's asking you to make a concession where you don't feel right about it.
Right.
And sometimes it's sneaky because someone's going to say, well, don't worry about that part. I'll mm-hmm. take care of it. Wink, wink. And you're like, no, we need to do things right. And my name's on that job. I need mm-hmm. to do things right. And I think that's the element too, where I've had multiple times when I've had faced with a situation where we were asked to cheat.
Mm, interesting.
Yeah.
The other thing that comes to my mind when you say that is like, if you're a remodeler, builder, something like that, and you always want plans for a job,
mm-hmm.
maybe not taking on a project that's not clear up front.
Good,
you know,
that's a great observation.
Just something to be aware of potentially.
Yeah, and sometimes people are going to say, well, that bathroom remodel is so simple. I'll just tell you about it. Don't worry about it.
Yeah.
I mean, bathroom's a bathroom.
Yeah.
Make a concession for me. I'll be your easiest client. And then you get into it. Like, why did we ever change our process for that person?
Yeah.
So I think that's what you're speaking to is process.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. Or even like locale of where you service clients. You know what I mean? Like making, unless you have it built into your estimate and you know that you're covered
like
on the cost, you know what I mean? Like maybe you should have boundaries around what your actual locale is, where you're willing to travel for jobs.
2 hours away and you're like, well, and that might be back to the great money thing, but then there's the sacrifice of time.
Yeah,
impact to your crew, are they down for it?
Are you
giving them a bonus you know, for travel or whatever it is?
Your decisions impact others, you know?
Yeah, that's good stuff.
Yeah. Okay, so what about like your team? The other couple places we talked about is team and events. So mm-hmm. can you kind of break that down for –
Yeah, on the team side, I think there's some obligations that I have, that you have to team members where somebody asks for something, it's mm-hmm. a duty to give it to them,
mm-hmm.
whether that's related to, you know, paychecks and things. I mean, there's a certain level of thinking, well, yeah, I need to do something.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes it's not just a no, but it's like setting the expectation of when mm-hmm. something needs to be done, of like, yeah, at some point we want to set that up. But right now, like, that might be 6 months out. That might be a year out. But you're making, like, all of these, like, flippant kind of comments in our head are promises and commitments to team members.
That's
so
good.
Being cautious in how we communicate to our team and making sure we're – maybe it's not quite a no.
Right.
But it's – to them, it might need to be a no.
Yeah.
And you're just saying, I need to unpack that. I want to dive into that more. But today it's no.
Yeah.
Because if you say at some point, they're saying, well, is that next week?
Right.
And then you're getting this expectation of, like, you dropped the ball because you never did anything with that.
Right.
I heard a great one of our team members here – at his previous job, his boss had promised him, you know, a raise, and it just never happened. And it was always like down the road that'll happen. Mm-hmm. And nonetheless, it was in his mind, it's something he remembers today as a missed commitment.
Sure.
But I'm sure to his boss, it was just, you know, dropped the ball on it, or like, well, I meant a year from now or 2 years from now. To him, it probably
made sense.
Or he
meant to say no.
Or he,
and he said, yeah. I mean, who knows? But
right. Whatever it was, it was a missed commitment to the team. And I think there's an element, it's better to say no than it is to say maybe yes when you really need no.
Yeah.
And it, yeah.
Because even saying like, not right now, it's like, you better have clarity on when it's going to be. Because to your point, it's a commitment nonetheless.
Yeah. So it should be a clear no as opposed to a maybe.
Yeah, because you need to track it,
you
know, to get back to that person.
And on the event side, I mean, you're the expert on this. I mean, you're going to get invites. I mean, you know, your husband's involved in the church. I mean, like, you know, all you're getting events, all these things. Your social life can just get full of things. And sometimes you feel like you have to be there. It's duty to be there, you know, like.
Yeah.
I mean.
Yeah, I think it's – events can be really challenging. And I think events is like – all of these things are inside and outside of work. Because if you think about – the work side of it, like, there's no shortage of events. There's, you know, builders associations, there's networking events, local networking, there's trade shows, there's all, you know what I mean, from the work side of things, there's no shortage of events there. So it's like, you can feel the pressure of, oh, I need to be at everything so that way I'm gaining as much insight or rubbing shoulders with the right people or whatever that may be, but it actually might not be the most effective use of your time to be at that. It might not actually help you achieve your goals at all. So you have to kind of vet what the events are and be choosy about, I think, what events you're willing to.
And who wants you to be there is the other question, because sometimes it's an expectation of, well, everybody goes to that trade show. And you're like, but I have no use for being there.
Right.
I mean, we had this in even our business of being like, which trade show should we be at? And so like, well, everyone's there. Why aren't you there?
Right.
It's like, well, because
it doesn't align
want to
with our
there.
Goal. Yeah. Yeah. Or whatever. Yeah.
Right.
The cost outweighs the opportunity or whatever that is.
Right. Know? Sometimes we can be pressured into going to the things otherwise we wouldn't.
Yeah. That's good. All right. So let's break down how. Like, let's get practical on, like, how do we actually say no? I think we talked about why. We talked about when, you know, some examples of each of those.
Yeah. Let me give you a bad example first off, because I think one of the things I've had to kind of overcome is when I finally brought myself to the position of like, man, you know what? I really need to be saying no to that. I would kind of do this whole soft letdown of a no as opposed to like just flat out no. N-O. Like not doing it.
Yeah.
And I think partly it was because I felt like it would be kinder to almost kind of go around and be like, well, these are the motivations behind it. I really can't do that. And I think what I communicated in that situation is that I'm negotiating something as opposed to saying, telling somebody no. What the vibe I gave to them was saying, well, here's the reasons why no, so change my mind. But really, that's not what was going on. I really was telling them no. So I think number one, clear, concise, no.
Yeah.
And
it's interesting. I think sometimes whenever we give the why behind things, it feels a little bit less like trustworthy. It's like you're kind of trying to come up with an excuse maybe sometimes versus just being clear and concise and direct, you know. And I think there's a difference between being assertive and aggressive in your communication, right?
That's
of like saying no. Being assertive is just being like direct and upfront, and you can still be gracious with while being assertive. Whereas being aggressive is like, no, it's just no, you know, or you're pushing people out of your office, or you're, you know, cussing out clients, or you're, you know what I mean? Whatever you're doing, you know, like you can,
it can be
there's
kind.
A big difference between assertiveness and aggressiveness. And so
I
think learning how to be concise and direct is the most beneficial for everybody involved, because then it's like you don't feel like there's anything hanging over your head. You're like, I communicated exactly what I needed to communicate. Your customer or team member or whatever has no questions, you know, remaining. You leave space for them to have a part of the conversation too. Like, here's no, you know, like, do you have any other thoughts or anything, you know, that we need to talk through? You can make it more of a conversation rather than just like, it's no and I'm never talking about it again. You know what I mean? It can be a conversation, even if you're being direct and concise.
I like that. Yeah. And on the explanation side, sometimes that just waters it down.
Right.
And I think, sometimes it just feels like you almost feel like this inner sense of having to explain it. But I think there's also a part of us where it's dishonest to give a false reason why.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, growing up as kids and, you know, and you caught an obvious, like a parent saying, well, don't do that because of, I can't think of an example, but it's like the cliche of the parent, don't do this because this will happen to you or something like that. And you find out, well, that's not really true. you know, but it's like, we don't need to create false reasons why something is not true. And, you know, it almost feels a little sleazy when you're, when somebody tells you, no, I'm not going to do that. And then you find, and they give you a reason why. And you're like, well, that's not a real good reason.
Yeah.
I mean, like, I'm too busy right now, you know, or something like that. You're like, well, I mean, sometimes this can be a reason, but sometimes you realize, well, it's really not the motivation behind it.
Yeah.
And so as opposed to really being very trustworthy and direct, I think that builds a lot of confidence with people to be able to say, you know what, and even if it's something negative to address it, being like, you know what, we're shifting as a business right now.
Right.
And I know this is not what we usually did in the past, but being very honest and direct with things, I think can be very helpful. I think hitting it head on and being open to being judged about it, I think as well. Just being like, we are changing us, but I've had multiple times when I had to do that. We were doing a certain service and people would say, they always call us for something. We say, you know, we're phasing that out. We're not doing that anymore. Mm-hmm. Sorry.
Yeah.
As opposed to being like, you know, giving them like not answering the phone or, you know, like there's all kinds of excuses that people go so far as to block somebody's number because they can't tell them no.
Yeah.
Isn't that terrible?
It's true.
So somebody else gets this because they can't tell them no.
Yeah.
Next thing you know,
you're blocked.
They're blocked.
Yeah.
You know, and instead of just like, you know, here's what's going on. And I'm sorry about that. And here we go.
Yeah.
Now, if somebody doesn't respect the no,
right,
and somebody's pushing aggressive, that's a different situation.
Totally different
where, okay, maybe it does get to the point where you block them.
Yeah.
But anyway.
Yeah, no, that's good. I think, you know, that was a really good example, too, of like a real use case. You know, another thing we talked about, too, is like if it's a customer that you're needing to say no to, you know, even just coming alongside and being like, hey, someone might be able to do that for that price. But I'm unable to, or within that timeline, or you know what I mean? Like,
can
that's
you give
reason
me a referral?
Enough.
I mean,
I mean, you can be like, my brother-in-law, he's a lot cheaper than me. No, I'm sure, whatever.
Yeah.
No, I think that's, but you can be upfront, you can be kind, you can be like, someone might be able to do it for that price, but but I'm unfortunately can't at this time, or meet that expectation, or meet that time frame, or whatever that may be.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think that's reason enough.
Yeah.
Too, in a scenario.
I've had a couple of good examples of people that have been very gracious about things, and they've definitely, you know, been able to be at the same time very direct about things. And I think one builder in particular, where he was very good about really speaking negative things in a very concise way while still being very kind about it. And I thought, well, it just made it less dirty. Like the word no just seemed kind of like, ooh, you know, like who wants to really tell somebody you can't do something or no, or we don't do that kind of thing.
Yeah.
It just felt like, you know, hey, you're doing this. Can you do that too?
Right.
And he would be like, well, that's just, you know, like he didn't feel pressured into it. I thought, wow, what a beautiful example of things.
Yeah.
And people respect that so much when you can say no. And then the next time they ask for something, they expect you to be very direct with them and say yes or no. And they're like, okay, great. They respect it.
That's good.
Because as soon as you set the expectation that you are mushy and, you know, you can be trampled, you will be trampled on. Mm-hmm. And I've been that guy in the position where I couldn't say no. And the next thing you know, you're like, why are we in a position where they're telling us to get something done yesterday for less money? And how do we get to this position where we're overwhelmed and we're you know, in a, you know, essentially feeling like we're walked on.
Right.
Like, I'm the guy that set it up that way.
Right. Yeah. Your time will be hijacked if you allow people to hijack your time.
Yep.
You know? So
that's
good. Closing thoughts. What do you have?
Well, I think it really comes down to the motivations behind saying no and just having that freedom. I mean, that's why we started businesses many times, is because we wanted freedom of time, money, being able to make decisions. And I think we have more or less let that get hijacked by all, instead of serving a boss, now customers are telling us what to do, when to do it, how to do it. And it's not the premise of why we started. And so I think really getting back to this, you know, first principles of being able to say, okay, that's, you know, very clear, concise, kind no in a situation where it doesn't fit our ideals. And we're going to find more time, more opportunity, the ability to say yes to the things we want to say yes to.
That's good.
And the next thing you know, it's revolutionary. That weight that we started off with, where you feel this just burden of just caring of like, there's not enough time in a day.
Mm-hmm.
You can't meet all the obligations. Why am I late to this meeting? Why is this person mad at me? We go from that to being able to be winners, to be able to be the people that are confident with us and be able, yes is yes and no is no.
That's good. You like actually get to walk in leading your company,
yes.
leading, you know, like leading your business, leading your family, things like that.
Closing wisdom for us.
Yeah. I think for like one of my takeaways, just from like what we've talked about a little bit, is you should think as long about the things that you say yes to as the things that you say no to.
That's great.
Like give as much thought to that. Try to take out, you know, try to remove the reactionary yes from your day-to-day, you know, life. And I think developing and learning the skill, you know, to say no is something over time, and it's, you know, it just requires